Welcome back to Evolution of a Snake. I'm Zach.
And I'm Madeline.
And today we're doing something that I don't think I've ever done on a public episode before, but we do this plenty behind the paywall, patreon.com/cryptologist. We are talking about two artists that are not Taylor Swift. We're talking about Addison Rae and Miley Cyrus, who both put out albums while we were on tour. And we thought that now would be a great time to geeky with each other and catch up. So if you like listening to us talk about other artists, let us know. We're happy to do more of it. And we do a lot of it behind the paywall already. Like, you can go find reactions that you can't see anywhere else, and regular weekly bonus episodes, Kiki Lounges, Phone a Snake, where we discuss everything. You wouldn't believe the things that get discussed on the Patreon.
We're talking about anything behind the paywall, girls. You name it, we're saying it. Well, we're talking about
all the drama, all the drama you see online that we don't respond to. Trust and believe, behind the paywall, we're talking.
Yep. Behind the paywall, we're free. Behind the paywall.
Patreon.
This makes it sound like it's like a truth social.
Slash adulthood.
It's not.
It is. It's our truth social. It's snake
our
social.
Truth social. Well, yes.
I mean, you also get access to the Discord. It's the best deal on the internet. We've been saying this. So today, we are going to be getting into these two records. I think the point is not necessarily to compare them. It's just that they both came out and we want to talk about both of them. But in a way, they are kind of interesting foils to each other. When I was looking at how it was received and like where each of these artists are in their career, obviously this is Addison's debut and this is Miley's 150th album. So it's interesting to see how people are responding to both of these things, given what we know about these people already. What were your kind of overarching impressions of both these albums, Madeline?
Well, I'll start with Miley. My overarching impression of the Miley Cyrus album, number one, doing too much. Let's start there. This is just a broad statement. Doing too much. Number two, concept album without a concept. We knew that. And number three, she's doing new things. There's kind of like a rose and a thorn when it comes to the Miley album. But when we're talking about Addison, all I have is a rose. All I have is a big, beautiful red rose, or perhaps a big, beautiful orange rose. You know those roses that they have? They're like orange. I love those. Mm-hmm. Underrated. Red roses are so overrated to me. I love like a pink rose or a white rose or an orange rose. But nonetheless, I would give her an orange rose in, you know, celebration of the fact that the album cover is tinged orange. I love the Addison album. To me, they're really interesting to kind of, not that we are going to compare them, but like one of the major differences between the two is definitely like length and conciseness. Addison is like very concise. It's a very fully formed thought. It is what it is, as opposed to Miley, which is very long, all over the place, and a bunch of different meandering thoughts that don't really collect into one overarching final statement.
Rambunctious, if you will.
It's rambunctious.
I felt the same way about Miley. I actually feel really conflicting feelings about it because I have always felt that like with a new Miley Cyrus project, you get kind of three or four pretty decent songs and then everything else is a skip. That's kind of how it's always been for me with Miley. And I love Miley as a performer and I think that she's really great, but she has yet to release to me an album that really says loud and proud, I am Miley Cyrus. This is my artistry. And my issue with her is that I do feel like she's kind of always putting on a different wig and then being like, no, this is my permanent wig. And then she takes it off and puts on another permanent wig. And it's like, well, I appreciate the chameleon. I appreciate the shape-shifting, but there's something to be said about like, where's your artistry with Miley, I think. And I think she's definitely, this to me is the most ambitious thing she's ever done. And I think it's brave to put out an album that basically has nothing that will be a radio hit whatsoever, especially following Flowers. But overall, like reading the reviews and stuff, it was interesting to see how other people interpreted it. And I think it has not changed my opinion that like a Miley Cyrus album will have 3 to 4 good songs and everything else you can just skip.
But Addison.
She boots.
Her album was
33 minutes and Miley's was 54 minutes. And I hate a short album, to be honest. If it is concise and perfect, then great. But there are times with Addison's debut where I was like, we could have added a bridge here. We could have had a final chorus there. Do we need my pet peeve overall? I had this with Camila Cabello's album too. If you are doing a short album, what is the point of doing 30-second interludes? Enough.
I'm saying it. The interludes, again, this is something that we could compare the two albums. The interludes on Addison at least bridged the gap. At least they had a purpose. At least they were transitional. The interludes on Miley's album were completely useless. They did absolutely nothing. And they were interlude and then, what is it, Easy Lover and then interlude. What's the point of that?
Why? Is Easy Lover good enough to have an interlude before and after? No, it's not.
No. No, she's not. In fact, she's probably, and this has been confirmed to me through a lot of the reviews, it's probably one of the most derivative, trite songs on the record. So it's like, mm-hmm. Why are you acting like she's the diva when we know that she's not?
Well, Pitchfork said that was the diva, the mammoth, the showstopper, and then proceeded to slander the actual best songs on the album. But we'll get into that. You know who they're glazing? Addison. Now, the thing about this is, I have to say, the response to Addison from the internet people, the gays and the phone, it's like they've never heard an album before.
Maybe they haven't. Did you ever think about that? Did you ever think about that? Well, you want to know what I saw? Somebody, and I don't think that you should do this because it just proves that the Pitchfork business model is like non-existent. They were comparing the Addison 8.0 rating to other pop girl ratings so far. So what is it? Torture Poets 6.6, Miley 5.6, even Camila was something like that. And then Selena was lower. It was like, what was Selena? 6.9 or something like that? 6.3. But anyway, nobody else even got like a 7. And then they're giving Addison an 8. But this is why I don't think you should bother doing this because it's completely irrelevant. It doesn't mean anything. They're completely arbitrary.
Everybody gets grace on their debut. I think this is why like Addison is getting very well received. It was also just like a beautifully executed album rollout. I thought that it was really interesting that she decided basically to just have the music video medium be the way she was going to promote and share the album, because in interviews, she doesn't come off great. I think that she's endearing, but a lot of people find her annoying. A lot of people listen to her talk and go, this is not like matching up with the character that I see in the videos.
I didn't know people felt this way. I think that she's really, I always like her when I see her talk. I don't listen to a lot of other people. I don't listen to a lot of other people.
Well, you're not on TikTok, so you don't see.
Yeah, I don't see the hatred. I don't see the evil. I just live in my bubble, baby.
She's definitely got like a, I think there is that TikTok star stigma on her. There are people that are still refusing to view her as a pop star versus a TikTok star. And, you know, I think there's something to that, I guess, in that a lot of people are questioning like what involvement she had creatively in this. Because she does have this vessel-like quality where she can kind of transform and be a chameleon. And like when we re-examine what Britney had to do with her early career, creatively, when it came to input, like in the very, very early stages of her career, there wasn't a lot going on there. So I think people are, you know, everybody loves to do the industry plant thing. So I think with Addison, they're like, well, why did she get such a huge budget and blah, blah, blah. I think that Addison like rubbed elbows with the right people, like Charlie, who advocated for her behind the scenes. And, you know, if a tastemaker tells a record label that they've got something good on their hands, they just need to sink their teeth into it and invest some money, I think it works.
That's very surprising to me that people are saying all these terrible things. I didn't know. I'm living with the gay people on the phone. I have the gay people in my phone who are going, she's a genius. In my opinion, the worst thing that's going on with the reception at Addison is people DTM doing too much. She's the visionary. She's the this. She's the that.
Yes.
She's the greatest new artist that we have. So that's what I've been seeing. I haven't been seeing a lot of the negativity and the hatred. And
no,
I'm surprised.
We haven't been seeing that.
People hate it. People hate it when a girl comes out and says, I'm a girl. This is my blood and it's red like yours. They don't like it when you say that. They hate that.
Mm-mm. They're mad at her. And you know what? What I realized is there's always someone mad at something. Like there is never, now there isn't a consensus that you can draw anymore because there's a hater and a glazer for everything that you encounter. So I think it's fun to try and like, instead of going between the two extremes, which is like Addison visionary, never been done before, and Addison TikTok flop that will never be famous, I think it's interesting for us to try and find like the mid-ground between those two things. Obviously, we're leaning away from TikTok star flop because this is a great album. But I do think, when I think about, is it reinventing the wheel? Is it doing something truly new? I don't think so. But like, I don't think in pop music now you can do something truly new anymore. I do love to see this new collaboration, this trio of female artists, like introducing a new-ish sound to mainstream pop. We've been dominated by the Jack Antonoffs and the Max Martins and the Ryan Tedders and the Dan Nigros. Like, it's time for some girls to get their moment in the sun. And I think that the production that's done on this record, specifically the vocal production, is so good.
Yeah, honestly, I feel like the Jack Antonoffification of pop music and the Ryan Tedderization of pop music.
Like, of Tate McRae.
Of the radio, the Sabrina Carpenterification, the Tate McRaeification of the radio. It just kind of is taking us to this place where it's like, obviously not everything on the radio sounds the exact same. At the same time, I could understand if you were a random person who only listens to the radio and you said, I feel like everything on the radio sounds the same. I could understand where you were coming from. If you're only hearing Jack Antonoff and Ryan Tedder produce pop, I could kind of see the vision there. But I kind of thought, I don't think that Addison is doing anything brand new in terms of the annals of history in music. But I did kind of think in terms of music that's come out this year, I don't really think there's an album like this one that's come out this year. Specifically like this one that sounds like this. I don't think so. Maybe not even last year.
Right. I think I was expecting, if anything, there to be a lot more of a Charlie influence on the Addison record, just because like they've been so closely linked to each other. And that has been, I think, a favorable comparison for Addison, definitely brought her a certain kind of fan. And the only moment that I would say is kind of like Charlie coded a little bit is like maybe New York and Money Is Everything. But in general, I feel like what she's really doing is like a reinterpretation of this like Ray of Light Madonna, like early, early Y2K Madonna, and also other Y2K pop. Like there's a little bit of a, like a Hilary Duff on her very best day. There's something super, and I mean, this is channeled in the album cover too. There's something very like Y2K in a studied way, not in an accidental sports car. Oh, Brian Tedder brought me this song that sounds like something from the past. It's like, this is music that I kind of grew up loving. And like, these are the idols that I was worshiping. And when I was digging into like how the album came out, like Addison has been courting the Britney comparison for a long time. She's been doing deep Britney references in the high fashion video. She's kind of wearing this like bedazzled bikini top and denim jeans, which is really similar to something Britney wore on the Dream Within a Dream tour. And she has a fantasy bottle, Britney's perfume, in her closet when she's dancing around with all the shoes. So there's something there about Addison really like aligning herself with pop culture history that I like, because it sounds referential, but it also sounds current and contemporary. It doesn't sound like she's trying to make music that belonged to be released then.
I think Addison is doing referential in like the way that everybody wants to see it. I've been seeing so many people say that they're over referential music. The gag is you can be over it all you want. Everything is a reference. Nothing is totally original. So, I mean, you better get
especially
used to it.
Especially in pop.
But the thing about Addison is that she has that capability of making something that reminds you of Y2K, but doesn't sound like a quote unquote ripoff. As some people who won't be named have claimed that it is. It doesn't rip anybody off. It references, it takes a page out of, but it never directly rips any other artist off. It might remind you of Britney. It might remind you of Lana Del Rey. It might remind you of Madonna. But it's never like you could point to any one thing and be like, she's ripping that exact song off. Never.
Right. Whereas with Sports Car, you're like, that's a Britney song. It's a great song. But like you hear it and you're like, Britney Spears 100% could have done this song. I agree. I didn't feel that way with anything on Addison. It all felt very distinctly her, and who that her is very interesting to me. Maybe we should talk about some of the highlights from the album. What is your kind of holy trinity of songs?
Fame Is a Gun. I honestly think New York. I love listening to that song. What's my third one gonna be? I love Money Is Everything, but because it's so short, I feel kind of goofy positing that as my number three, but I do love it. It's either Money Is Everything or I'm still a Diet Pepsi fan. I'm gonna say it. I don't care. I don't care what they say. I love Diet Pepsi forever.
I agree. I think Money Is Everything is too short. I was really annoyed when it ended because I was like, I like this. We need to have more of it.
We need more.
And I think that's what people were expecting from Addison. Whereas I think songs like, one of my favorites is In the Rain. I love that song.
That's a great one.
I think that it's very misunderstood, but I'm not going to sweat it. Isn't it all for the show? Keeping a smile on my face for protection, turning my tears into gold. So I cry only in the rain. That's a mission statement, girls. That is a mission statement. And I think it says a lot about like who she is in the public eye, misunderstood. That's like her number one issue is that because she has this blankness, people can project literally whatever they want onto her. And I think she keeps who she is actually very tight and to herself. She's quite mysterious, actually. And that is something that pop stars don't have anymore. She's not oversharing. She's not like, anything she shares is very intentional. And something Charlie said about her was like, what she finds so fascinating is that everything she does is part of the work. Every Instagram post, everything that she wears, like it all adds up to something to do with her art. And I think that she does that very deliberately. And it's so interesting how she went from keeping it all like with TikTok, you're everyone's girl. You're literally for everyone. You don't hide any part of your life. So the transition to then becoming the most mysterious girl in pop is really compelling and a job well done. And I think it's partly because of what she says here. I keep a smile on my face for protection. She is a happy-go-lucky girl. When you see her in interviews, she is bright. She's sunny. She's a Southern girl. She's from Louisiana. But when you listen to these songs, like this album overall, it's very melancholic. I wouldn't call it joyful. I wouldn't call it crazy. It's not sad either. But there is kind of a like a very meditative melancholy that seeps through. Times Like These is another good example of that, where she's like, my life is literally spinning out of control and all I can do is bear witness to it. That's a hard place to be in. So this one, I love Fame Is a Gun too. And oh, it's so hard to pick. Maybe New York as well. I love New York. I love New York. Love New York. Love New York.
Love New York. Love New York. Love New York. Love New York. Love New York. Just to be.
It's
so. It's literally. I don't know. It's just like there's nothing.
It's how it feels when you're in New York. That's how it feels.
What do you want me to say?
It has the same impact of Welcome to New York. It's like it's a New York song, and it's hard to enter into the canon of New York songs. It's a high bar to clear, and she did it.
And she did it. I'm going to say something. I don't even think Welcome to New York clears the bar, if I'm being honest with you.
You've never lived in New York, so I'm scratching that from the record. You don't get it?
Yes, I have.
You've never been Welcome to New York.
Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
In New York City, in Manhattan.
My first 14 years of my life, I lived in New York. Let's not forget. Was I living in Manhattan? No, I didn't have the kind of money to do that. No, I did not. But I did. I have lived in New York. And welcome to New York.
You didn't want to be welcomed. You were like, I'm not welcome.
No, I didn't want to be welcomed.
I'm just here.
I didn't want to be welcomed. I definitely prefer New York over Welcome to New York. If we're talking about specifically songs that make you feel like New York, Welcome to New York makes me feel like a very specific kind of New York that isn't the kind of New York that Addison's talking about. Does that make sense?
Addison's talking about like downtown New York. Taylor's talking about like arriving in JFK. It's like different. You're touching down in New York. You're seeing it from afar. Then you have to get harassed by USCIS at customs. You know, it's a different thing.
Yes, it is a different thing. In any event, I love the song.
Yep, great song, beautiful song. I think, you know what song I think I kind of, it's interesting that there is almost no filler. Thank God, because it's a short album. So if there was any filler at all, it would really stick out. The one song I'm kind of like not 100% sold on beyond Aquamarine is Summer Forever.
Now that I'm going to let you cook on. I also, when I was first listening to it, and you can see this in my reaction, which by the way, if you log on to loserreview.substack.com, there's always time for it. If you log on to loserreview.substack.com, you pay $7, you can watch all of my reactions behind the paywall and many other things as well. But nonetheless, if you watch my reaction, I'm visibly bored by the song for the first like 2 minutes. When we start getting into the part where she's going, the bridge and the outro, that's where it becomes interesting. But the bulk of the song to me is just kind of like Diet Pepsi in another font. And I prefer a Diet Pepsi. And I prefer Diet Pepsi any day of the week. But I like it. I don't love it.
Yes, I like it too. It's not that I don't like it. It just stands out to me. If I had to pick a song that I'm like, if I was going to skip, which I won't, I listen to this all the way through, interludes included, which is an accomplishment.
Well,
if I had to pick
minutes.
A song that I'm kind of like, 30 minutes, it's not hard.
There's something to that. It's a short commute.
And I mean, not all the songs are 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Like In the Rain, Summer Forever, Times mm-hmm. Like These, they're real songs.
Yeah.
So congratulations, Addison, for making real songs. We'd love
Somebody
to hear
had to do it.
It's
Somebody
important
had to
that
do
we
it.
Hear it. Shall we talk about the commercial performance of this record? Very impressive for a debut from an unknown. But then again, this album, like excitement has been brewing for a year. It's really interesting that she was able to keep that momentum for more or less a year. That is a real accomplishment, especially through the 2024 Pop Girl Summit. The fact that Addison was still kind of cooking through that and having her moments, I mean, we had to cheer. So it debuted at number 4 on the Hot 100 in the US. And I think it sold like 44,000 copies in its first week, I want to say. It got 13.4 million streams on its first day, which did surpass the day one streaming figures of Miley Cyrus as Something Beautiful by almost double. Interesting.
No comment. No comment. Well, actually, one comment. One comment. Addison.
One comment.
Addison managed to like hold on to excitement for her album. It, putting like actual content aside, Addison like put in the work to build up the excitement for her album. I feel like Miley kind of didn't.
No, this is another, this is something that really perplexes me about Miley that we'll get into. It just seems like she doesn't care. To be honest, it really just seems like she doesn't care anymore. But the reviews for Addison were, of course, overwhelmingly glowing. So Variety said, after listening to the songs on Addison in their intended order, what becomes equally as intriguing are the lyrical themes fueled by emotion and articulated in digestible one-liners and definitive affirmations. This is where I have to really get mad at Anthony Fantano's review, because his like main thing was like, there's no substance to this. And it's like, you're not listening. You're legit not listening. In the rain, summer forever, times like these, like she's talking about what she's experiencing. And his point seemed to be that like writing about fame is not interesting anymore. And I agree that people are writing about fame too much, but Addison is writing about it in a way that's different and is interesting. And she's almost maniacal about becoming more famous a little bit if you really listen to the songs. And there's something to that. And she's trying to become famous by making good pop music, not just because she wants to be. So that is compelling to me.
Well, there's also a lot of really interesting things being said on the album that he didn't pick up on. I feel like he just DGAF.
Bald-headed scallywag.
Probably one of the most important things that he said. Probably one of the most important things that he said in his review, which immediately kind of rendered the entire thing null and void to me, is right at the end he said, I'm not gonna fall in line with the pop elites. And I was like, you lost me.
The pop elites?
The pop elites of Variety Magazine and Charlie
the
XCX.
The pop elites, the
Who
gay
you
people on your
about?
Phone.
Yeah, it's absolutely delusional. And all he's really saying is, I kind of just hate this because everyone else likes it and I don't really see it the same way. It doesn't matter to me if Anthony Fantano doesn't get it, if he doesn't understand the depths of the album. You don't have to. All you have to do is wash your hands of it and say, I don't think it's for me, and walk away. Insisting upon your response to it and your response being valid and it trumps everybody else's just because you have a different opinion, so everybody must want to hear it, wrong. And it's male behavior. I said it.
He made very many negatable points, and I do think that it is interesting that his reaction generally to anything that really girls and gays like tends to be to belittle it in one way or another. It's like, this is good for what it is, or it's like, this is not as good as everyone says it is. And again, I don't really catch him doing that about other artists that don't specifically appeal to the girls and gays audience and community. And there's something to be said about like, this isn't for you, Anthony Fantano. You're not a hot girl that lives in New York. You could never understand that experience. It's not your business, basically. And that doesn't mean that you can't have an opinion. But like you said, it's the declarative statements of like, this is like void. He really went in on it. He was like, it's superficial. There's nothing there. And it's like, you just didn't look hard enough. And it's a 33-minute album. Like, you could have played it more than once to understand and try and see what she was talking about. But Addison has this very high femme approach to her music. And I think that for some men, they just turn their ears off when they hear something like that.
It just doesn't seep through the skull. Somebody also said something interesting about Anthony Fantano, where they said that he is one of those guys who's really into production, but a certain kind of production, and lyrics are not nearly as important to him. And that's a fine way to be. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Everybody gets what they get out of music. But it's like, you're never going to get anything out of Addison Rae because you don't hear the electric guitar going wah, 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 wah. So it's like, what are we talking about?
But also
about?
Like, even his point about it not even being interesting or it being a throwback to Y2K, I'm like, well, quickly name to me what specifically this is ripping off. Because as we said, the influences into Addison have coalesced into something genuinely like new and different from what other pop has done before. So to say that, like, even from a production standpoint, there's nothing new going on, isn't it interesting that we have a like two-woman production team that is finally entering into mainstream pop. These songs don't sound like Jack Antonoff songs. They don't sound like Max Martin songs. They don't sound like Dan Nigro songs. They don't sound like Ryan Tedder songs. There's something new cooking. And if you don't like it, that's fine. But to say that it is like reductive or that it is referential in a way that is not new or interesting is actually kind of wrong.
Well, it's just wrong. And he also said that it's just a complete and total Lana Del Rey ripoff. In your dreams, it is.
That is the biggest, like, oh, it's gone over your head. It's completely gone over your head.
You completely misunderstand it.
And I bet when he heard Born to Die, he said the same thing.
Well, the thing is that's the thing that men like that, they have this like big comeuppance about Lana Del Rey. He did too. He hated Lana and then all of a sudden had like a come to Jesus moment with her.
Comes out.
Many such cases, by the way. Mm-hmm. And those kinds of guys, for some reason, they think that Lana Del Rey is like the blueprint and the original and the only one who can do it and the only woman artist, female artist, who's worth anything. And everybody who's kind of morose and kind of sad is immediately ripping off Lana Del Rey. And it's like, okay, so we're past that point. Like, do you realize that? Not to say, I mean, I said it in my reaction as well. Summer Forever, first of all, it's a phrase that Lana Del Rey has uttered like a million times. So have other people, by the way, but it's like, okay, fine. And Diet Pepsi. That's it. That's literally
There's a Lana influence, but it's not even a Lana reference because Addison has a much sunnier disposition than Lana does. You can hear her smiling in a lot of these songs. Lana was never smiling. Even in Born to Die, like it was Born to Die is the name of the album. Can we start there? Born to Die. Addison is not trying to do what Lana Del Rey did. I really don't think. She name checks her as an influence, of course, because any girl that's interested in pop is, of course, going to have listened to especially Born to Die, that early Lana Del Rey music. That is kind of the blueprint for a lot of things. But it's not a ripoff of Lana Del Rey. The production is totally different. Like, completely
Well, when has
different.
Lana Del Rey ever done an Elvira-style record? Never.
Never.
And she never will. It's over. People need to let go of this idea of even Lana doing Born to Die again. Release it. It's over. Do you see what she's doing
now? She's saying, I love my alligator man and doing country music to
and
a stadium of people that are mad about it. She's gone. That Lana is gone. She's not coming back. And she also, that really pisses me off. The whole she's ripping Lana off. There is nothing Lana Del Rey about a lot of the stuff on this record. The influence is there in spirit, but not in direct reference. And it says to me that you don't know Lana that well, and you also didn't listen to this album that well, if you think that that is a one-to-one comparison.
Well, this is kind of the thing about like Addison's references. It's like, that's how she does them. It's like, yeah, I can say it's there on Diet Pepsi. I can say it's there occasionally, like in some of the songs, but it's not so specific. And it's the same with every other reference that she pulls. It's not that specific. I feel the same when people are like, she's just trying to be Britney Spears. I'm like, no, she's not.
No, she's not.
That's what you're not getting.
She's trying to be Addison Rae.
It's not clocking to you that she's standing on business. It's not. I don't know what to tell you.
It's not clocking.
I don't know what to tell you.
So the pitch. There was a line from the Pitchfork review of Addison, which I thought was a good clap back to Mr. Bald-Headed Scallywag. If Addison has a narrative through line, it's one you've heard before, in which a plucky ingenue strikes out for fame and fortune in the wacky world of showbiz. But Ray is at her most delightful, balancing camp and sincerity on starry-eyed numbers in which all the world's a stage. There is a whimsy to Addison Ray that Anthony Fantano could never
he
get.
He could never understand
he
it.
Would never
he could never
get
understand
it. You've
the,
never
the trials and tribulations, the epic
life.
Highs and lows of being a girly pop. Mm-hmm. You'll never understand it, the trials and tribulations.
He's never had the wind blowing through his hair. Sticking his head out the Uber. You wouldn't get it. You wouldn't get it.
You'd never get it.
And if you
also never say,
if you take that at face value, you're an idiot.
Love New York, love New York. Or my favorite, my personal favorite, take a bite out of the Big Apple.
Yes! She's hilarious. It's funny. It's a joke. Ha ha. You get it?
Have you ever heard of it? It's just a movie. You're an adult. You should know that.
Literally. Yeah, so I think Anthony Fantano, shut up. Is kind of my overall thing.
Well, it was just kind of a really, really lame, kind of like mean-spirited, kind of didn't really take the time to understand it, kind of a review moment.
Scathing is fine. Scathing is fine. I give a scathing review all the time. It's like, have you been thoughtful about delivering the review? He was not thoughtful about this.
PMO. That's all there is to it.
He decided what it was going to be before he heard it. And shame on you. Shame on you.
I'm saying it. Shame on you.
Let's move on to Ms. Cyrus, Miley Cyrus, Something Beautiful. I want to start by talking about the commercial performance of it and Miley's approach to releasing it. So Something Beautiful debuted at number 4 also, earning around 44K in its album equivalent units. So it's in its second week, total reported sales reached 77,000, which was a significant drop in momentum after the debut. It was like a crazy drop, like a 70 position drop on the chart. So that is interesting to me in the sense that people didn't really care about this album. And how can you blame them when Miley puts very little effort into promoting it? I thought we were in for something crazy when Prelude and Something Beautiful came out. I was like, oh, it's going to be like, this is the concept record that we've been wanting. But the first thing I said when I heard Something Beautiful was, I really hope that this is an actual concept and that it's not style over substance. It's not concept for concept's sake, that there's actually something there. And unfortunately, when I heard the record, I was like, oh, there isn't. What she said it was a pop opera. Where?
She made the biggest mistake of her life. And do you know what it was? She invoked Pink Floyd's The Wall. She said it's going to be like yourself? Pink Floyd's The Wall in high couture or something like that. You never do that. Let me tell you, you never promise crazy a baby and you never invoke names like Pink Floyd to these men. You never do that.
Never promise crazy a baby. I've never heard that before. That's great.
You never, ever, ever do that. You shouldn't do that because you're never going to make a The Wall. No matter who you are in the world, you can't make Pink Floyd's The Wall. And that's been decided. You could have said American Idiot and I would have at least said, okay, pop opera. Okay, I'll take it, but it's still not quite that. So she kind of like buried herself before she was ever even in the grave. She was already
talking before the music comes out.
Don't
can really
do that. Remember when
really
Dua Lipa said that Radical Optimism
I was just
was gonna
thinking
be like
that.
Blur. She said Blur,
like Blur,
another
and
thing
Oasis
that you never invoke.
And Britpop.
Let me tell you, here's the names that you don't invoke. This is for the girls of the world. You never invoke Pink Floyd. You never invoke Blur or the Gorillaz. You never invoke Jack White, John Mayer. I mean, need I go on? The Rolling Stones, The Who. Stop. Stop doing it.
Be yourself.
Kurt Cobain.
Everyone else is taken.
Exactly. No more of these men. I don't want to hear their names anymore. Stop saying them.
Let's hear about a girly that inspired you. That's what I want to hear. So, Something Beautiful. The genre is progressive pop rock, disco, gospel, and orchestral pop. And I guess it is kind of all of those things. That is, you could view it as a strength or a weakness of this album. It has throbbing instrumentation. Like, it is over the top. It is orchestral. I can see the pop opera thing that she's talking about there and that it is very elaborately produced, but it's also kind of a little bit hollow. It's like the production takes center stage. And on certain songs, Miley's vocals take over, like Easy Lover. I don't really like that song, but her voice, she's carrying. But there are songs where she kind of recedes into the background of these compositions. And that surprises me because Miley is a very, very charismatic vocalist.
Well, did you take the time to open your eyes to how many names are listed on a lot of these songs?
Oh, there's like 85 million
it's
people
crazy.
Involved.
Crazy. And the people that she employed, Danielle Heim is just the start. That's just the tippity-tippity-tip-top. She's pulling any name that she can. Brittany Howard, like all of these people that she was pulling in. And for what? That's like the literal definition of too many cooks in the kitchen. You're never going to be able to create what you think you're going to be able to create when there's 50 people trying to create 50 different songs. I'm saying it. Nobody really knows what they were making here. They just showed up and said, that sounds cool.
And then someone else came in and said, well, I can do something even cooler. And then it went on and on and on. And then you get these overcooked things. I think also at the end of the day, this is my real feeling about Miley as an artist. She doesn't know who she is as a musician. I think she knows who she is as a vocalist. I don't think that songwriting and coming up with original music is a strength of hers, which is why she doesn't really have a signature and why all of her albums sound completely different from each other and why a lot of them struggle to stick the landing beyond like a persona that she puts on for a temporary period of time. Miley is most herself when she's covering other people's songs.
Well, think about this. So I went through her discography before I listened to the album because I just wanted to go through it. So the first two albums are Disney. Then she goes, I don't want to be a Disney girl anymore. And that is deliberately why Can't Be Tamed even exists. It's also kind of why Bangers exist too, if you think about it. Like it was just taking it to the next level. Dead Pets, we don't have an answer. I don't know why that exists. I still can't figure that one out.
That's the reason. I smoke weed.
And then we got Younger Now, which she has recently said she made because she wanted to appeal to Liam Hemsworth. And then you get the She Is Coming EP. Which frankly, I mean, Mother's Daughter was supposed crazy.
Yeah, but it was supposed to be a trilogy that she dropped after the EP was poorly received. You see?
Right. And then she does Plastic Hearts, which is her, I think, kind of like really trying to do what people always wanted her to do, which is make this kind of like glam rock album. People were begging her for it for years. You have the voice for it. Just do it. And I think Plastic Hearts is okay. Definitely not my favorite, but there are some okay songs on it. I like Midnight Sun. Is that what it's called?
Midnight Sky.
I like Midnight Sky. Yeah. I like Give Me What I Want. I mean, these are the songs that I like.
WTF Do I Know? I like that's a good song.
And then you get Endless Summer Vacation, which to me, out of all of the albums that I just listed, is probably the most fully realized. Not that I'm saying that it is fully realized or that it is a complete
the
total
most.
Concept.
Yeah, it's but the
it's
most.
But it's the most her really sitting down and saying, okay, let's do this exact album. And I think she was successful at making the kind of album that she wanted to make. Then she said, I can do whatever the fuck I want because I want a Grammy. And she said, let's do everything, boys. And next thing you know, what do you get? Everything.
I think she craves critical acclaim. And she thought that invoking Pink Floyd, getting all of these very esteemed, like music respected, industry respected musicians and producers to come in and cook with her. Like she talked about how I think the Grammy meant more to her than she is willing to like really state publicly. And all the Disney girls, I think, crave critical success because they have a bit of a chip on their shoulders after having been perceived as like not serious artists and, you know, baked in a factory, like not true or real musicians, which isn't fair. But I think Miley like has not really had her moment in the critical acclaim sun because Endless Summer Vacation was well received, but it wasn't like the best album of the year. When it got nominated for Album of the Year at the Grammys, I was like, we kind of need to be a little bit more serious because I agree there, like it is the most fully realized of her albums. But again, I think there's like four, maybe five really great songs and everything else is standard Miley Cyrus fare. And this album, I mean, this album I will give her is more of an authentic rock album than Plastic Hearts is.
Yeah, I definitely think it feels more authentic and it definitely feels more like I wanted to make this and a lot less like people wanted me to make this. I definitely think that Miley wanted it to be over the top. She wanted it to be crazy. She wanted it to be very big. And I think in that way she did succeed because it is all those things. But I think what this album ultimately suffers for is there was no one saying, should we pull it back? Because there are a couple of songs on here that are like good songs hidden underneath like a layer of sludge. For example,
some of them are so long. This was my main critique. Like I loved a lot. There were some of the songs where I was like, this would slap if it was 2 minutes long. My first thought is
Walk of Fame. Every girl you've ever loved would have slapped. We don't need the Naomi Campbell showing up and doing this, that, and the other thing.
No,
and also pose.
It goes on forever.
You're doing too much. You hammered it home. It was good until you completely lost the plot. Walk of Fame,
almost 6 minutes.
Good. Golden Burning Sun. I actually love the part in that song where she goes, surrender.
Well, I like that song.
That part is so good.
Pretend You're God is a real highlight to me.
You know which one I really didn't like? Reborn.
Yeah, that was like a retread of all the songs that came before it. It was like, we had Walk of Fame, we had Every Girl, like we don't actually need this here. I also hated the closing track. That's her Daylight.
It just like didn't work as a bookend because there was nothing. It like all of a sudden, we're in this like quiet, short moment. How the fuck did we get here? Because the whole rest of the album is you going absolutely tubular for 50 minutes. And now all of a sudden, for no reason that we can ascertain, because this is complete a hodgepodge and it's impossible to discern like what the chronology of this album is. You're just randomly going soft on us. I didn't get it.
What's the concept? The concept is
we don't
I love you and I miss you. Those are like, it seems to be those are the two things that we're swinging between here. But I mean, the lyricism, I don't come to Miley for lyricism. That's not what I come to her for. I remembered your face and it hit me like a million trains. That's not a good image. But it's her delivery that I stick around for. And in Pretend You're God, where she's kind of doing that couplet of I'm haunted, he's missing. And she repeats it over and over and it like escalates and escalates. That was beautiful to me. That was something beautiful.
Period. The biggest problem that I have with the album is the fact that she thinks that it's an opera, a pop opera. That's not what it is. I can tell that you're trying to do that. And you see how we can tell that you're trying, but you don't succeed. I mean, if you think about like this is only the one that I keep returning to because it's the one that I know the most, American Idiot by Green Day. That is a rock opera. They put it on Broadway, et cetera, et cetera. Like that's probably the most modern equivalent of what she was trying to do. When you listen to American Idiot by Green Day front to back, you know what they're talking about. It's not hidden underneath a million layers of couture and nonsense. They say, I don't want to be an American idiot. Is it clocking to you? Like, it's really not a secret. With Miley, it's not clocking to me. I can't figure it out. I literally can't. I get fame, love, euphoria, sadness. What does this mean? What are you trying to tell me?
But in no specific application, that's the other thing. It's like the themes come up and disappear. They don't get focused on beyond one song. So then there's no unity that keeps the album together, which is kind of the entire Miley Cyrus problem to me. There also isn't a standout track on this album. There's some stuff that is like good, but there isn't like one great blockbuster moment. And I don't mean a hit. I don't even mean a single. It's like, well, what's the best song here? It's hard to tell. And the way that she's been promoting this album, I mean, she hasn't been promoting it, basically. She's given a couple of meandering interviews. She's done private performances at the Chateau Marmont. That's like her thing that she's doing now. She really fumbled the release. More to Lose being the last thing we heard before the album came out. I was like, this is not good. It's not bad, but it's not good. And we have had this kind of song from you a million times before, and it never lands. When you do this kind of stuff, it doesn't land because she's not a songwriter. This is the issue. So End of the World to me being the one and only single from this record, I'm like, you literally put all the songs into a hat and you picked one out and you're like, this is the single.
Here's the gag. Here's something positive that I'd like to say. It is really unique. I will say that. They were playing with a lot of genres and sounds, and they were really making something new. I think playing with like disco, funk, soul, all of that kind of stuff that she was messing around with, that was really interesting, and it created some things that I feel like I hadn't heard that style of song for a very long time, at least not done the way that they were doing it. There are interesting things being done on the album. It's not a total wash. It's like a swamp. You bogged it down way too much. I mean, there's beautiful things in the swamp, but there's way too much gunk surrounding it that you have to like kind of dig to find it.
Yeah. And it's like even, it's not even just the interludes and stuff. It's like the songs themselves. Like Walk of Fame and
Again,
Every Girl You've Ever Loved could be great songs.
Post.
But I'm playing the album on the train and I find myself looking at my phone going, is this still going? This is still going on. I'm listening to this. Why? Like I can't, there's a time and a place for a 6-minute song. Virgo's Groove, Beyonce. We needed all 6 minutes of that. This is not that. This is, I want to make a long song. We don't know why. We don't know why because there's no apparent reason. So the critical reception to this was kind of mixed, I would say. It's got a 71 on Metacritic, which is higher than Portrait Poets. And I do find that very interesting. So some of the comments were, there's a feeling that something, this is from Clash, there's a feeling that something beautiful is searching for a unity that doesn't quite coalesce, all while lacking some of the towering peaks of Miley's more commercially focused work. A fascinating one-off, potentially, something beautiful just adds another layer to Miley Cyrus's story. I can accept it for that. But I think like in terms of being a pop star, she's damaging her cultural relevancy by like doing stuff that people don't really care about. And is it that she just doesn't care about being a pop star anymore? Because part of being a pop star is being popular. If she wants to lean into like just doing whatever the hell she wants, which I think is what she's doing, then more power to her. But I guess the rest of us have just got to stop going into her album releases thinking that we're going to get like a pop moment.
I'll say it. Exactly. I think that she's completely released it, but I think that when you have a moment like Flowers, after not having a moment like that for so long, it's like, I could imagine that being like addictive. Like, oh my God, I want to have another Flowers so bad. But there's no way that she thought there was a Flowers on this album. There's no way that
she
she's
talked
that.
About that. I think she knew that she was never going to follow it up. So she was like, let me just do something completely different. But I think the issue for Miley now is going to be like, you've been around for a long time. It's going to be hard to get people to drum up the kind of excitement to create another moment like Flowers if you don't capitalize on momentum. Like, I remember after Flowers and she had that big moment, then she put out that horrible song with Will.i.am.
It was Pharrell.
And that was obviously...
I can be your doctor. Da, da. Is that the one you're
talking about? It was designed to be a... Yeah, and it was designed to be a hit. That wasn't you just doing a creative experiment. Like, you were like, I want another hit. And then it flops and then she retreats. This is how it always works. She like never sticks to something. And I think that that is why we end up with projects like this. And again, this isn't bad. It is genuinely... It is interesting. Like, there is stuff going on here. Am I going to revisit it? Well, I would love to revisit Walk of Fame and Every Girl, but like, I'm not sitting through 6 minutes of that.
No, I don't need to hear Naomi Campbell. I don't. I don't need to hear that. No.
She needs to be in court.
She needs to be in court dealing with her actions.
What? Yeah, whatever the hell she does. Whatever the hell she does. Pitchfork really panned it. They said they gave it a 5.8, which I actually felt was unfair because I didn't think it was bad. I really didn't think it was bad. The reigning issue with Something Beautiful is that it's more interested in signaling than embodying. Cyrus can access the best musicians and producers, and she can register a genuine interest in more subversive art, but few songs on her new albums feel like they emerge from experience or a burning desire to explore new sounds.
I mean, you know what really was a moment that I thought when I was reading it, this is too far, but I can't argue it, is when they said the thing about how she's like, a Pride Month or like a what is the thing that they say? You know what I'm talking about? Fiji water during Pride. Yeah. I was like.
Like a sponsor.
I can't. It feels too
they
far.
They cooked her at the end. They cooked her at the end. They said, they quoted her in a interview with the New York Times. I'm in the record business, she recently told them. When I sign a contract, they're buying records that they wish to sell. So I understand that I'm setting myself up to become merchandise. But then she said something so vulnerable, it was alarming. At one point in my life, I look forward to just being an artist, untied, untethered. At some point, I'll get to do that. I wonder what that will sound like. Girl. So, I mean... The thing is that if you're trying to create something to sell, you failed. You, like, this is not that. So I'm confused. Again, I think Miley is like a shapeshifter. Like she changes her mind so quickly that sticking to something and being like standing 10 toes down behind an album. With Younger now, she literally put out Malibu and said, it's over. I'm done.
Malibu's great. Thanks. By the way, Mama loves Malibu. Mama loves Malibu. But you know what would have really fucked from Miley is like a fucking Shania Twain sort of style country album. Not like all the way country, but you know what I mean. That would have gone crazy this year. I need to be on the team. Let me in. Miley, yeah. Knock, 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 knock.
I mean,
can I come in?
She could have done that before all the other girls, and she has a more legitimate claim to it than anyone else.
Well, she definitely does. Hello? Does anybody know?
Dolly Parton is my godmother.
Dolly Parton.
Who else
has anybody
can say that?
Heard of Dolly Parton? Sabrina wishes she could say that. I'll tell you that.
I was just about to say that.
And you know, here's the thing about Miley is that I think Miley is an icon. I think that she's amazing. I think that she's really cool. I think she has one of the coolest personalities in Hollywood. I think that she tries her best to be as honest and endearing as possible. I think that it's never like a lie when she comes out and she's doing something else. I think that she always kind of like thinks that like this is the real me and this is what I really want to do right now. But I just think that she isn't in a record, a full body of work creator. And I don't really think there's anything wrong with that because I love Miley's singles. I love, a lot of her visuals. I like to see
her. Slide Away, standalone single, didn't need to be an album. That was
Mother's
iconic.
Daughter, same thing. It's like,
she also
I
doesn't
think
want to promote. She doesn't want to do that work. She doesn't want to tour. So I'm saying, maybe let's put the albums aside and let's go back to doing singles. Mother's Daughter, Slide Away. I'm listening.
I'm always listening. I love Miley. I loved when she came out with Beyonce. That was just, what was that, last week?
So good.
I cheered.
Yeah,
you see, now that's when she's doing the moments. When she's doing the moments, I'm clapping and I'm cheering. I feel like Something Beautiful also just like, I don't know, like your fan base is girls and I mean a little bit of gays too, but like I feel like she was kind of courting a male demographic with this album and you're never gonna get it. And you don't want it. That's the thing. You don't know that yet, Miley. No, I'll tell you that.
You don't need it.
You don't want it.
Well, I mean, look at someone like Addison Rae. She's popping the hell off and she's not really getting that. I mean, she is actually now, but she's being taken seriously. I guess this is what like most female pop stars crave. It's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah. Interesting dynamic indeed.
I think we've cooked pretty hard on Addison and on Miley. You asked for our thoughts and you asked and you received. And if you would like to hear more about, if you want to see our unedited reactions to things, hear us talk more candidly about all kinds of music, come to patreon.com/Lizardologist.
Or alternatively, you could also go to thelizardreview.substack.com, where you can get all of my reactions as well.